The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Friday, 15 September 2017. Mike in South Carolina. What's on your mind?
Well, what's on my mind, John, is I've got a couple of questions for you.
Yep.
And the first one is, in the State Department, the agreement, the State Department and Vicente Fox's regime down in Mexico, that was going to, the State Department was going to allow the invasion of Southwest America, especially California, in return for the oil companies, the American oil companies, to go down and drill oil and also frack down in Mexico. The second question is, can you tell me why each congressman is paid $5 million into their account every single year to allow the oil companies to have what they want?
I don't know. First of all, on the issue of the State Department, Rex Tillerson is going to shake up the State Department. Now, exactly what that means, I've got no idea. And I don't know firsthand if a deal has been struck with Vicente Fox to allow that, what you suggest, to actually happen. I do not know that. How do you know that?
It came from good sources.
Well, okay, Mike. Thanks for your call. If you're going to get up here with third-party stuff or you can't point me in a direction that can you can prove what you're saying, I don't need more supposition. I need fact. What? He what? And so when you pulled his pot down, you heard it on your speaker in there, he said I was stupid? Stupid why, Mr. Mike? Because you can't prove what you're saying? That you just want to let me allow you to put your balderdash out there and have people believe it, and you are telling me you've got sources? Yeah, he's got a guy at the table. Yeah. Oh, that's right. This is the guy that sat down with the Rockefeller people. Oh, right. Right. So I challenge him on his facts, and then I'm stupid. Number 10 on insider influence, and I'll take intelligent calls today, folks. 800-313-9443. On insider influence, before becoming president, it's time to drain the swamp in Washington, D.C. That was campaign promise, October 17th, 2016, before the elections. Since becoming president, he's filled his cabinet with billionaire donors, Wall Street insiders, and former politicians. And that was throughout the transition in the first couple of weeks. Don't you remember, folks, when he started picking his cabinet, you were scratching your head going, why is he letting Goldman Sachs in there? Or what the hell is ExxonMobil doing in there? If foreign policy is detente and listening to other people, why would you bring in a corporate CEO such as Rex Tillerson from ExxonMobil. Oh, another deal maker. On making cuts to Medicaid, before becoming president, it's time to drain the swamp in Washington, D.C. Yep. Yep. He invited the swamp in. On making cuts to Medicaid, before becoming president, save Medicare. Medicaid is Social Security without cuts. That was June 16th of 2016. And since becoming president, he pushed Republican health care plan that would reduce federal spending on Medicaid by $880 billion over 10 years. But see, it struck nobody here that free market and free market principle, there's that damn word again, principle. Free market principle is simply this. You got a product or a service and you want people to partake in your service or buy your product, you make the best product or service you can possibly bring to market for that consumer on the hopes that they try your service or your product and they continue to use it or buy it. Okay? So what has happened? Well, we got the insurance companies involved. They're the ones that wrote the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. The insurance companies wrote that. And before that, the fix was already in on how many insurance companies you could actually deal with from any particular state. Down here in Texas, you had your choice of 6 insurance companies. Why? Why are you limiting the customer's ability to negotiate with a company that they want to negotiate with? Mark in Georgia. Hello, Mark. What? Mark, go ahead.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, well, you know, as quick as a short joke to make the point, Abraham Lincoln said in 1922 that you can't trust everything you read on the Internet. Is that about right? So, you know, people can speculate and conjecture all they want, and that's, you know, I'm like, look, you're entitled to your opinion, but don't call me an anti-Semite for agreeing with the King of the Jews. Don't go misrepresenting what I believe to make what you believe sound reasonable. You know, as I was reading this article by Michael Ruggiero. See, this time I remembered his name. I wasn't. But the thing is, he's saying that basically there was the wreckage of a 757 at the Pentagon. And I'm like, well, you know, I hold the view that whatever is absolutely true is known to God. And I look at things from a point of view of a finite, flawed human being. And if I'm wrong about something, I want to know about it now. And that doesn't mean somebody rehashing a lame argument that I've heard over and over again, like this neocon in the local GOP, who claims that I have to prove things that are completely out of scope of things that we can prove, and somehow that legitimizes the claim that a plane, you know, actually did hit the Pentagon. And I'm like, excuse me, I don't buy into that. But, you know, I don't disrespect Michael. He's a good guy, and he means well, and whether he's right or wrong about his argument. I did hear somebody say something, I think it was a woman, I forget her name, sorry, but she said there were actually two things, that there was a plane that hit a building near the Pentagon, but there was no wreckage of a 757 at the Pentagon, right? Is that, I don't know if you've heard that account.
No, I have not.
Well, like I say, I can appreciate you don't want people making statements they can't substantiate. You know, it's like there's this guy with this publication that you know about, and he's a former Muslim, and he claims that it doesn't matter that Ahmadinejad never actually said, wipe Israel off the face of the map. It doesn't matter what he said, it matters what he means. Like, you're not really admitting candidly that there really is no primary source documentation. He's saying, well, yeah, but he wants Israel to go on, and I'm like, yeah, I wonder why, huh? So you appreciate that we do need to have critical thinking and maintain a certain willingness to step back and reexamine, right?
Are you looking for my ascension to that?
You agree that we need to be open to... I mean, I'm not saying about anything specific regarding you. I'm just saying that we need to be more committed to the absolute truth than our particular point of view, right?
Yeah, because usually points of view are based on fact, not fiction or opinion.
Fundamentally, the problem is that when people confuse fact with assertion, like it was asserted over and over again that Saddam Hussein still had weapons of mass destruction that he got from who? Oh, never mind that.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I've dealt with people who become convinced that, well, he moved him into Syria and da-da-da-da-da, so he still really did have them because they cannot accept that they've been had. And I'm like, excuse me, you're blaming this on Obama for withdrawing troops, when which was one of his campaign promises, and you're completely ignoring that it was the Iraqis that really ended this occupation when they said, we're not going to renew the status of forces agreement if one of your troops or any of your troops do things to violate our people's rights that you claim you came here to liberate us, they're going to be held accountable to our law. And that, you know, it's like, you know, neocons, people who call themselves, they love to talk about accountability. But just try to get them to be real about how they've accepted things without really critically thinking, what if they're lying again, right? I mean, that's the thing that disturbs me is about, you know, the rule of law does not exist in this country because there's criminal elements that think that they're above the law when they do reckless evil things.
It's even worse than that. And
yeah.
And what I suspect that it is that people within position of power, heads of major corporations, give it a name, give it a place, that somehow that their wisdom is better than the common American person that knows the difference between right and wrong, and which, by the way, we're held to a standard much higher than what they are. It happens every single day. People are going to jail. They don't get out of jail free cards because you know somebody that knows somebody.
Or they rat on the bigger fish, right? And that's the thing is that I'm not, you know, when I talk about the militia, I'm thinking about very carefully drafting a constitutional amendment. It'll be at the tail end of a pamphlet called A Practical Primer in Political Proctology, which is basically a mixture of humor, biblical scripture, and here's what the founders had to say that you seem to be conveniently ignoring. Like, don't go messing in the internal affairs of other nations. And when you blame Iran for all this stuff and you not once address these people, the neocons, not once have I ever heard anybody but Ron Paul address the fact that the reason why we have this problem is back in 1953, criminal elements imposed the Shah upon the Iranian people, and a decade later, who installed Saddam Hussein in Iraq? And they kind of like, but we didn't, you know, it's like, yeah, the American people, one, had no idea what was going on.
Or we were giving weapons to the Iranians in hopes that the Iraqis and the Iranians would have at it.
And that's the thing that they don't want to deal with when, yeah, it's true that Saddam Hussein had and used the weapons of mass destruction that were supplied by the same criminal element. But we were the ones, and I'm not saying we, me, you, the criminal elements, they are the ones who gave him instructions. They're the ones that gave him, here's the targeting information, where to place them, you know, or you don't want to use it here because it's not going to be ineffective under this terrain or under these weather conditions, you know.
Yeah.
So the thing is, they're making it out, and that's what Saddam Hussein said in his trial. Yeah, I had him, I used him, I got him from those guys. Why the double standard? And I know that people, you know, I'm like, wait a minute, I did not say blame America first. When I point to certain criminal elements, I'm saying here's this criminal element that needs to be held accountable, you know, like here in the state of Georgia, down in Fort Benning, is it? It used to be called the Schools of the Americas, and now it's called the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, otherwise known as It's Not Terrorism When We Do It.
That's right. Yeah.
You've heard of this, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
And the thing is, it's like, don't tell me it's for national, you know, there's a guy, he sent me a text, and He said, the NSA has reviewed and approved of this message, and I shot back a message to him. I said, the NSA considers your ability to think for yourself and see the obvious as a threat. And I was going to write national security, and I was like, no, that's not right. So I started writing Nazi-AL security, and the spell checker kicked in and said Nazi anal security, and I'm like, bullseye, perfect, Nazi anal security. That's what we're dealing with when we're not dealing with the security we the people, we're dealing with the security of criminal elements, and I cannot, will not trust our current form of government to do anything but do more of what created this mess. Because, Rush Limbaugh doesn't address this, Sean Hannity, and the neoliberal counterparts, they're part of this, and then they say, oh, but if that were true, the liberals would be all over it. Like, well, yeah, I used to believe that until I saw Building 7 go straight down its own footprint at free fall speed, and I'm like, where's the liberals? Where's these neoliberals that would be all over this if that were true? Well, it is true. So, let's look at the objective, provable facts.
What we're going to just do is we're going to roll around in the trough and play politics and shoot little slings and arrows at the political opposition, and that's what's supposed to pass here as newsworthy reporting in this country. That they're reporting on the latest political catfight, rather than going to the and rather than doing white paper journalism, rather than bringing up issues that the American people are concerned about, and doing a journalistic person's job. What does a journalist do? Well, they write stories. What do they write stories about? Supposedly that which is interesting and important information that affects Americans' daily lives. Okay. So why haven't we seen a white paper? Why haven't we seen objective reporting or writing on the who, what, where, when, and why? And presenting, if there is two sides anymore to this argument called politics in America, why didn't we not see white paper journalism? That you give both sides of the supposed story. I thank you for your call, Mark. By the way, Mike in South Carolina called back to say that the source of what he was talking about was Wynn Parker, but he didn't want to blast it out there. Mm-hmm. Mike, did you post the rest of those stories up? All of them that I sent you today? Maybe I have to hit refresh again. Now, a little bit more on this amnesty plan, and I cannot see it any other way, DACA. And this is nothing more than an amnesty for 800,000 plus illegal aliens. In a meeting with establishment politicians from the Problem Solvers Caucus and the Blue Dog Coalition, President Trump signaled a full-fledged cave in the issue of giving amnesty to 800,000 illegal aliens currently protected by the Obama-created immigration program. And I'll get into this as well as Jeff Sessions. And no matter what your political stripe in Washington, D.C., they're all calling for the heads of Jeff Sessions. And it's over the continued militarization of the American police. How the hell did that happen?
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Since Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced the ultimate end to the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, under which hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens were given work permits and temporary protected status, Trump has remained unclear on whether he would stick to his anti-amnesty campaign promise or cave in to the political establishment. At his White House meeting with moderates, according to The Hill, Trump is set to choose a legislative deal that quickly legalizes the nearly 800,000 illegal aliens on DACA without getting any pro-American immigration reforms in return. Representative Henry, I think this is Suliar, out of Texas, Democrat out of Texas, he says, indeed, the president is already getting impatient. He says, oh, DACA, we want to move on this quick. We don't want to wait 6 months, Suliar said after the meeting. He said, it's already been 6 days and nothing's happened. Suliar said Trump didn't propose a timeline, but voiced concerns that waiting until the March 5th deadline grows would only put a spotlight on the issue and make it more difficult for Congress to act. The president, Suliar said, wants to move when people are not expecting it. He said, we don't have to tie a wall to this. We can put a wall in another bill, emphasizing that other border enforcement measures would likely be included. Now, although Trump is looking at pushing through the clean amnesty bill for DACA recipients, He did mention during the meeting, according to Cellular, or Cuellar, or how the hell you say his name, the possibility of passing Senator Tom Colton's Pro-American Worker Raise Act, which cuts legal immigration in half in exchange for amnesty. Oh, let's make a deal. What a hell of a deal. $400,000 instead of $800,000. Ah, wow, what's wrong with that? That's a hell of a deal, isn't it? Kind of make it sound like you want to go buy a car? Hi, we're in a good mood today. We're going to give you half off. Trump's cave to DACA amnesty comes just days after the White House Legislative Affairs Director, Mark Short, said the administration would look at exchanging amnesty for tax cuts. Oh, now there's a hell of a deal. Tax cuts for people that don't have jobs. Wow. Wow. As Breitbart News reported, Director Mark Short is a former executive with a pro-mass immigration billionaires, the Koch brothers, or Koch brothers, however you would like to say it. Additionally, Short led an effort in 2016 inside that organization, the Koch brothers, to derail Trump opposing for his America First agenda, although Short's anti-Trump operation never came to fruition. He went to join Senator Marco Rubio's unsuccessful presidential campaign. House Speaker Paul Ryan most recently would not rule out a plan to give amnesty to 800,000 DACA recipients. As Breitbart News reported, immigration patriots who want to see an end to illegal immigration and major cuts to legal immigrations to relieve American workers recently told Breitbart News that any immigration deal on DACA that includes amnesty would be an outrageous selling out of Trump's base. How about just the American people? Whether the others are too stupid to recognize why they don't have jobs. Numbers USA President Roy Beck blasted Short's comments regarding a deal in which amnesty is given to DACA recipients in exchange for tax cuts or more, or mere, rather, border wall funding. Short's comparison seems entirely for foreign citizens here illegally, with not a nod for the struggling American workers, according to Beck. Should DACA recipients receive amnesty, Center for Immigration Studies Director Mark Kekorian, which I mentioned earlier, has warned that it would have two impacts on the American communities. A surge in illegal immigration along the U.S. border with Mexico, and a surge in legal immigration as newly amnestied DACA recipients would be able to bring in, are you listening? Would be able to bring in relatives to the U.S. potentially peaking at 2 to 4 million. DACA recipients currently hold upwards of 700,000 U.S. jobs. An ultimate end to the program with DACA recipients not getting amnesty would result in 700,000 job stimulus for American workers. And this would amount to nearly 30,000 new U.S. job openings for American workers every month once the program is officially phased out.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You know, Donald Trump tweeted out that real Donald Trump. He said that no deal was made last night on DACA. Massive border security would have to be agreed to in exchange for consent, would be subject to a vote. As of yesterday morning at 5:11 a.m., is this number correct? 12,512,212 replies. And I would like to know what these replies were all about. Roxanne in Texas. Hello, Roxanne.
Good evening.
Hi.
The gentleman, I don't know if his name was Mike or wherever he called from. I couldn't really distinguish where he called from. But he was talking about this Mexican deal between U.S. and... But if you go back to February 25th, 2001. It was a Newsweek article, and you can pull it up pretty quick on the Internet. It's called Bush Family Ties. And Jeb and his wife would always visit the ranch. His name was Miguel Elimon. And it all has to do with the Zapata oil. And this is all in the works. And unfortunately, whoever Michael or whoever that gentleman was, he didn't come equipped with data to back up his claim. Because I worked with the Bushes on and off for 12 years in motorcade. So I know that
Wait a minute, Roxanne, back up here. You did what?
I drove motorcade here in Houston for the Bush group.
Okay.
So I was around all those people.
Mm-hmm.
They had volunteers back then. Now it's all actors. But it changed. When they asked me to drive for Clinton, I refused. And then from then on, they used CIA and whatnot. But they asked for volunteers in local towns. We used to pick him up from Eisenhower High School, and he came in on Marine One from Ellington to, and it was vice president and president, so it was, you know, he came from Ellington over to Eisenhower High School, and we had to get him over to the Houstonian Hotel, because that was their home base here in Houston. So I know all these people. I know the stories. There's no open mics. All this stuff is a divide. In that, whoever that guy was, I don't defend people that call you a name or any of that. That's wrong. He just didn't have his research or ducks in a row.
Well, no, his research was supposedly a quote that Win Parker, a statement that Win Parker had made, and I have yet to speak to Win Parker about it, and if that's his source, and that's really true and correct, he actually said it, I'm going to press him on who his source is, because it sounds like a lot of phooey to me.
Yeah, but just take a look at that Newsweek article. This is probably before they took it all away, that you could get some sort of detail, because, of course, Newsweek, you know, is left, and they hated the right, but they wanted to beat up the Bushes, but they didn't want to beat up the Clintons, you know.
Do you see any, actually, Roxanne, do you see any difference between the two?
Absolutely not. That's why I said I'm all done with these clowns. Yeah. I ain't driving for any of them.
I hear you. All right. Roxanne, thank you. I appreciate your call.
Bye-bye.
Ed in California. Hello, Ed.
Yeah. Hey, John.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to bring up a point that I've read a little bit about in regard to North Korea. I don't believe that situation is gone away, although it's not in the news hasn't been for the last couple of days.
Oh, yeah, it has. But anyhow, what about North Korea?
Yeah. What I came across was that they have the largest or one of the largest deposits of rare earth elements or minerals in the world, and supposedly it's worth multi-trillions.
Okay.
Now,
same thing we've heard about Afghanistan.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I did read that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what occurs to me is that regardless of what we've heard about Kim Jong-un, I don't believe he's suicidal. But it would seem that it would be at least something to bring up in a public format in regard to
suggesting what let me cut to the quick here, Ed. Suggesting maybe that since they have these trillions of dollars of much-needed whatever they got, that somehow a deal could be struck with North Korea that said, hey, look, you know, we really don't want you shooting missiles all over the place. You know, you're making South Korea and everybody else a little bit nervous. So why don't we better the position of you and, by extension, the Korean people by striking up a business deal. In other words, we'll buy your stuff. Exactly. Just quit playing around with the missiles.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's a possible point.
Now, and you would think, with that kind of dollars on the business table, that some kind of deal could be struck.
Yep. Yes. Absolutely.
Anything else, Ed?
Well, China did come in and say that if the U.S. struck North Korea preemptively, they would come back with a military option. So in view of all of this,
Wait a minute. Now, hold on here a second. Let's step up to then have a seat again at that business table to make a deal. Now, is it not possible that it could be suggested to China that, you know what, we've got a problem here, and you're supporting of North Korea, which is communist, which you still are, but you seem to have this flavor for capitalism to a certain degree. But here's the deal, that if you support North Korea, we'll cut off all the imports into the United States. Now, Ed, I can tell you right off the bat what you're going to hear from businesses that are on the receiving end, and maybe distribution here in this country would maybe have a little problem with that, because effectively they would be put out of business. But let me go back again to last hour, what I was saying about the art of the deal. If we don't need it, or we can absolutely do without it, you know, business and consumer demand hates a vacuum. What we have been taught since I got off of mother's milk, is that, business and paychecks are necessary in this matrix we have created, that we got to have jobs, we got to be able to go to work, to buy things and pay our taxes and to keep the money circulating around. But that seems to be missed on a lot of people. Now, I don't know if there's anything that China is doing right now that we absolutely can't do without, but what you will hear them screaming is simply this, that you can't do this. You cannot. You'll start a trade war. Well, what would we have to lose if we were on the short end of the stick with a trade deal with China? What the hell would we lose, actually lose?
I may be going off topic here, but I believe that was it not Argentina that tried to do that and they sort of tanked their economy?
Slipped in by way of CIA, the new guy that in Argentina. Yeah. If you don't want to play the game the way the rules are laid down by us, we'll just simply go in, smash your government, and put a puppet up there that's conducive to what the United States wants. You know, where is the art of the deal with, if you got something I want, I'll pay you for it? How's that
right.
One?
Well, just going back and finishing up, I believe that some kind of a negotiating point between the U.S. and North Korea at least could be laid upon the table and see what happens.
Well, the political drama continues under the threat of nuclear war. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, now there's a deal maker. There's a deadline for you.
Yeah.
That if we don't pander and we don't kowtow and we don't continue to compromise the American people, that somehow there's going to be a nuclear war. Wow.
Okay, John, that's about
thank you, Ed.
That about covers it.
I appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah.
Because if you are a true businessman and you bring in the likes of Rex Tillerson, you bring in the bankers of the United States, when you're bringing in people that understand business and production and consumers and product and profit and all that other stuff, where is the United States profiting? Continuing with these bad deals that were set up. Unless, of course, one of the people out there that believe that almost overnight, 90 million people found a job in the U.S. Unemployment's at 4.5%. And the reason why they had to make that less than 5%, because it's been said by just about every president of the Federal Reserve, going back to when Hector was a pup, which was a lot of years ago, that they cannot have employment drop below 5%, because that's too much money out there floating around, and that's something we really can't control. It would point to the obvious flaws of the funny money system. It would overheat the economy and precipitate a possible recession. Again, folks, if you force people to deal honestly with honest money, you get rid of about 95, 98% of the crooks. You're always going to have people that want to cut corners. You're always going to have people that want to skirt responsibility or ignore a compass pointing to ethics this way. Go ethics, go this away. Well, let's leave you with this one today. Remember me going off the other day about this guy in Seattle, Washington, the mayor that, well, it's the fifth time he's been accused of child molestation, so he's just going to quit. And oh, by the way, I'm not going to darken your door again. I won't be rerunning for mayor. Just accept my resignation and let the pedophile go. High-level politicians from coast to coast have a sick problem. And this, again, going back to principle and ethics and morality. Since 2016, the mayors of 10 cities, just since last year, have been charged or convicted of sex crimes, child sex crimes. And as I said, Seattle Mayor Ed Murray has resigned after a fifth victim has come forward and alleged the mayor raped him as a child. It was his cousin. While this is certainly a massive revelation, it's important to note that Ed Murray is only one name on a long list of mayors accused of child sex-related crimes since 2016. According to a scathing report from the Daily Caller, at least 10 current and former mayors have been accused of unspeakable crimes against children, ranging from child porn to rape. Some of the victims were as young as 4 years old. The mayor of Stillwater, New York, Ricky Nelson, not to be confused with the meows, resigned earlier this month after he was caught and arrested with child porn. According to the Times Union, Nelson's arrest marked at least the fifth time in the last 42 years that his former school bus driver has been accused of victimizing children or teenagers. Nelson, 62, faced three separate sex crime cases between 1975 and 1986, with one of the lighter cases including allegations of rape and sodomy, according to the Times. And in 1982, the future mayor was accused of inappropriate behavior toward a five-year-old. He was never found guilty on any of those charges. Dale Kenyon, former mayor of Clayton, New York, was also on the list. The 78-year-old mayor was indicted last week following allegations of criminal sexual acts against a child, according to the Watertown Daily Times. By the way, not making this up, all these are annotated and linked on the story on Republic Broadcasting. He's been indicted on a whopping 22 counts of third-degree criminal sexual acts. Wow, if it's third degree, what's second and first? Murdering and eating them? Or first fondling before you murder and eat them? In July, the mayor of Randolph, Nebraska, 61-year-old Dwayne Schute, was arrested following an investigation that yielded four counts of sexual assault of a child and one count of felony child abuse, according to KTIV, After posting a $125,000 bond, Shute remains the mayor of Randolph. No jail time for judge who was caught on video torturing a defendant in a courtroom. In April, the former mayor of Hubbard, Ohio, was handed down a life sentence after he was found guilty of repeatedly raping a 4-year-old girl. According to WFMJ, Richard Keenan avoided trial when he pleaded guilty to 8 charges of gross sexual imposition, 8 charges of rape, and 4 of attempted rape. During the confession, Keenan told the court that his 4-year-old was a willing participant. He's eligible for parole in just 10 years. Stockton, California was shocked last August when their mayor, Anthony Silva, was arrested on charges that he provided teens with alcohol before filming them as they took their clothes off in a game of strip poker. As DC reports, Silva, who claimed he accidentally recorded the strip poker game after interrupting it, pled no contest to the lesser charge of providing alcohol to a minor. He was sentenced to 40 hours of community service. During a child sex sting in March, the former mayor of Winston, Oregon, Kenneth Barrett, was one of several men arrested after he was caught attempting to have sex with a girl he thought was 14 years old. The mayor of Dawson, Georgia, was implicated in a rape of a 12-year-old child in February of 2016. As WTOC reports, disturbing testimony in a trial of a man accused of molesting 2 children took a new twist after the mayor of Dawson was implicated as a participant. When the DA asked if there was anyone else the young boy and girl were involved with, the victim named Dawson's mayor, Chris Wright. Wright pleaded no contest this past January and was let off with no prison sentence. In June of last year, Darrell Walker, former mayor of Rockdale, Texas, was just a few miles from here, folks, and I heard nothing about this on the local news, was indicted on charges of sexual misconduct for engaging in sexual contact with a child younger than 17 years old, I should say, by touching the boy's genitals. Walker admitted to the act, but claimed it was for educational purposes. According to TDT News, I'll get that out, Walker was placed on 2 years deferred adjudication probation after he struck a deal. And you know what? He won't even have to register as a sex offender because he made a deal. The former mayor of Millbrook, New York, Donald H. Briggs, was arrested in December and faces felony charges linked to alleged inappropriate sexual contact with a person younger than 17, according to the Poughkeepsie Journal. While this list of mayors is certainly shocking, it should come to no surprise to those paying attention. As the Free Thought Project has reported numerous times, many of these sickos hold positions of power within high levels of government. They have an incentive to protect their operation and can do so by using many corrupt pedophiles within law enforcement as their minions. It also explains their infuriating lack of punishment. In case after case, the Free Thought Project reports on horrifying instances of child sex rings that were allowed to go on for decades because politicians, including heads of state, policemen, clergy, and others, were all in on the sick game. In fact, as a Netflix series, The Keepers, set out to launch an investigation into a murder cold case, it soon became much deeper because of the high-level pedophilia it revealed. The story exposed a concerted effort to conceal widespread rape and sexual abuse committed by Kehoe school chaplain and counselor Father Joseph Maskell, as well as clergy, police, and a local gynecologist. On multiple occasions, the Free Thought Project has reported interviews of former child sex trafficking victims who've all noted that they had nowhere to go as police and high-level politicians all took place in the abuse. Now, hopefully, as the government's war on drug continues to crumble, people will wake up to the fact that rescuing a child from a rapist is a little tiny bit more important than catching some dude smoking a plant. Betty in North Carolina. Hello, Betty.
Hello. I want to talk about the young people who are immigrants. Seems like a diversion, because if September 29th the Federal Reserve is going to exert its power, the money trail with the president, and then in December they're going to do it again, and the Federal Reserve is already, you know, in a lot of problems, but they sure can influence the president. Am I wrong or right?
Well, I don't know. The first thing that popped into my mouth, can you say President Pence?
Now, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and wouldn't the neocons alike, wouldn't the Democrats love somebody like Pence in there?
Yeah, well, you know, when you suggested people get Trump into a convention center like he was running and got people to go to, and then confront him with what he's doing and keep the Federal Reserve up front. Because I think that's the power that's really wielding the sword at this point.
Yeah, and corporations one criminal hand washes another.
Yep.
You know, the corporation is just dependent on the middleman people out there known as the banksters. They're dependent on them as much as anybody else, as much as this government is that keeps borrowing money. You know, does it make any sense to you, Betty? Does this make any sense to you that a bank would keep loaning, or banks would keep loaning money to the government, knowing full well that they can never pay it back? What kind of banking is that unless they have an agenda to smash the country that they're doing the deals with? Here we go again, the deals.
Well, I'd like to substitute the word banks and keep using the word Federal Reserve Incorporated.
Which most people in this country still don't realize, Betty, that this is a private corporation for profit, and it has no part of the federal government.
It's got foreigners who own it, too.
Yep. Thank you, Betty.
Thank you, dear.
I appreciate your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Folks, I just want to spend the last couple of minutes here on the issue of donations. You've been hearing that ad voiced by Mike Rivero. How long is that ad, Mike? 2 minutes? 2 minutes. We've been playing that, what, for how long now? 3 months? 2 months? That was written by Michael Herzog, by the way, urging people to make monthly donations to this network, otherwise we're going to go away. That is not a joke. You know, I really don't really need anything more from Mike in Kentucky. As a matter of fact, take that off my screen. I do not know what else to say on the subject of either, folks. You're either going to support what we are doing here, or you're not. And when it goes away, I go away. Sorry, Mike, what are you ranting about in there? Is that contributing to my broadcast? Or are you just over there bitching? You're just over there bitching. Thank you. Well, I can hear it, and it's distracting me. My only point.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.
Kill it. I got one more caller. Let them say no. Okay. All right. There's nothing else to say on the subject. You're either going to donate, folks, to this network, or you're not. Either we're going to survive or we'll not. you know, and talking today about all the deals that are being made and how everybody out there has got a raw deal. In better times, we didn't need listener support. We never needed listener support because we could do the business that we needed to do in order to fund this network. But a funny thing happened on the Rome, to the way of the Roman Colosseum. Go to the website, folks, republicbroadcasting.org. Hit the donate button.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hold on. We still got until we got 55 seconds till top of the hour. Oh, five?